Do what? It's not on? They knew Brian was teaching. They shut us down. I'll start it and I'll stop it and restart it in just a second. Maybe it'll help then. For those of you that are tuned in via the internet on our website, I want to mention to you, we appreciate you tuning in week by week. Brother Brian Sipes is going to be preaching today. And next Sunday morning, we will not be broadcasting over the website. We'll be broadcasting on Facebook Live, but we will not be broadcasting over the website next weekend. All of our technicians are going to be out of town, and so we will not be broadcasting over the website. So if you don't have Facebook, get Facebook or get with somebody that's got Facebook, and we'll be broadcasting on Facebook Live next week. We're trying to do that right now, but they tell me it's not working, so I'm going to try to restart it. But we're glad to have Brian with us. He and June are over for a couple of days, and then we're leaving this afternoon to go on a short vacation together. And I will be back next Sunday, so I hope you'll be here if you're in town. I know a lot of people are going to be gone for Memorial Day, but I hope you'll be here if you can. And we're glad to have Brian with us. He taught in our Sunday school hour, and he didn't get done, so he's going to finish up now. So, Brother Brian, come on.
All right. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. I appreciate being with you. I've always praised the Lord for coming and thank the Lord for this assembly over here and for what you do for the Lord and the work. And you'll never know till you get to the judgment seat of Christ what all you the Lord did through you. And so a lot of times we don't see the results, but that's insignificant. I mean, you know, and it's what we do for Him and for His glory. Religion has the thing that they like to get the glory, but it is not about our getting the glory. It's not about man's glory. It's about His glory. I want to talk to you about being in Christ. And so, and what we have in Christ, everything we have in Christ. And I hope and trust that everybody here, I hope you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you can be in Christ. And the Lord Jesus did everything that needed to be done to save you and to provide and to give you eternal life. And if you'll trust Him and what He did for you on the cross, you can leave out of here saying, I'm in Christ. I want you to look in Colossians chapter 2. And I want to begin reading in verse 10. And ye are complete in Him. Now notice what? Which is the head of all principality and power. In whom? Also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now that circumcision of Christ was not when He was 8 days old. That's not the circumcision that He's talking about. But notice He said, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen, not for Him, with Him, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, not for Him, with Him, having forgiven you, how many? All trespasses, and blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. I thank God for that. I thank the Lord that when He died, I died with Him. When He was buried, I was buried with Him. And when He was raised from the dead. I was quickened with Him. I'm in Christ. I want you to notice some things. Before we do, I want to talk to you. There's a thing about in Christ or in Adam. Now, you either in Christ or you're in Adam. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now notice what he says, and here's the gospel that he gives, and he said in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand." And the gospel is what you stand on. It's a foundation. And Paul said, "I laid the foundation for the body of Christ." This gospel is that we stand on, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. You know, believing in vain would be like believing without a cause. And I have no reason to believe it. You believe it. Somebody asked me before I got saved, "Did you believe that Jesus went to a cross and died?" "Sure, I do." "You believe He was buried?" "Yeah." "You believe He was resurrected the third day?" "Yeah, I believe that." But I had no reason to believe it. I was believing it in vain. But the night that I really saw for the first time that I was lost, and I saw my condition before God, then I had a reason to believe He died for me. And I'll never forget that night, and that was in 71, when I said, "God," I said, "Lord, You died for me. I believe You died for me, not the world." I could care less about the world at that time. I realized He died for me. And I was lost. I had a reason. I wasn't believing in vain then. And I was saved that night. Now notice he said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." How? "That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. How that He was buried. How that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And the Scriptures tell us in Romans 4:25 that He was raised again for our justification. Jesus Christ went to that cross, and on that cross became what you are. On that cross, God turned His back on His only begotten Son. And He cried out and said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" And we don't know why He forsook Jesus until we get to Paul. You don't find out the answers about that till you get to Paul. And you realize, like in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where he said, "He made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Folks, everything I have, everything that I will have in eternity is in Christ. Now I want you to see something about it. Cain. I think about old Cain. You know what the name Cain means? It means possessive, acquire, to get. To get it all back. He would fulfill the promise. Cain would be the one to restore all that Adam had lost. Eve said, "I have begotten a man from the Lord." He's going to be the seed. He's going to be the one that's going to get it all back. You know what the word Abel, the name Abel means? It means useless, futile, vanity. Abel could do nothing to ease the life of Adam and Eve in that curse. They were looking to Cain. Cain was their hope, put their hope in Cain. And Cain was of that wicked one. Cain was a spiritual child of Satan. Do you understand? He had a religion. Cain is the father of religion and works for a work-based salvation. And that was not what God wanted. Cain's religion labored to be praised by the Lord. He wanted to be God's praising him instead of him praising the Lord. You see the difference? Now, your salvation today, the people's salvation, our salvation is to be to the glory of His grace, not our glory. He gets the glory. God fixed your salvation so that if you did anything, He wouldn't save you. Do you understand? I heard Brother Moore one time say that if you had to do as much as wiggle your little finger to be saved, you'd go through eternity bragging how good a wiggle you got in your little finger. God fixed it that no flesh should glory in His presence. Now I want to talk to you about being in Christ or in Cain. Now you're either one. You can't be both. You're either saved or you're lost. You're in Christ or you're in Adam, and you either following Cain's religion, a work-based religion, or you're following the Lord, and you're following the Lord through your apostle whom the Lord sent unto you, and that's the apostle Paul. And over, Paul says, "Be ye followers of me." He said, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses to Timothy, commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Them things that we talked about in Sunday school, the gospel, the foundation, the rapture of the church, the mysteries that was revealed to Paul are all wrote down in Romans through Philemon. And you have it in your lap if you got a King James Bible. Now, if you ain't got a King James Bible, you're just out of luck. Go down there, buy you one. Begin to read Romans through Philemon. And read it and read it and read it. Why? There's where the mind of Christ, there's where your instructions are from the Lord of glory. Don't pay no attention to what preachers say. If they're not following Paul, they ain't going to tell you nothing no good anyway. I've come to the conclusion, some people probably get mad at me for saying this, but I've come to the conclusion about 90%, or maybe 90, I'm up to about 98% now, of what they say, believe the opposite and you'll be right. Now notice this thing about being in Christ. Number one, what are you? If you're in Christ, you believe the gospel. If you're in Christ, you have trusted what He did for you on the cross. If you're in Christ, you are complete in Him. Colossians 2:10 again, we read, He says, "And ye are complete in Him." Now, what could you do to be any more complete than what you are right now? When you trust Christ as your Savior, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, if the Spirit of God puts you into the body of Christ, you're in that body, you're sealed until the day of redemption, you become one with Him. He that's joined to the Lord is one Spirit. You're joined unto Him. You have His identity. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. There's neither bond or free. There's neither a Jew or Gentile. In Christ, we're all one. Now, folks, that's not water baptism. That does not put you in Christ. I've been baptized five times. Five times I went down under the water as a male, and five times I've come up, I'm still a male. That baptism there is not water. That baptism in Galatians chapter 3, we're all baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, for there's neither male nor female. Folks, that's a spiritual baptism into the body of Christ, and you have His identity. God no longer sees you in your flesh. He sees you in Christ. You have been made the righteousness of God. You're complete in Him. Now, what else can you do? In your flesh to be more complete? Nothing. In Christ, look in Ephesians chapter 1. In Christ, I love the book of Ephesians. I've been following Jerry and through his thing, and I just love that book. I love all the Bible, but Ephesians, something about it. It's just, every time you read it, you see something, you get another little nugget out of there, you know? In Ephesians chapter 1, notice he said in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Wherein? In that grace. He said, wherein He hath made us accepted in our flesh. Isn't that wonderful? Not what he says, is it? Hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Folks, you're accepted by God in the Beloved. That's a wonderful blessing. By the way, in verse 3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. There are seven of these blessings are named. Notice also in you'll find in verse 4, according as He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's our standing, folks. That's a blessing, that you're holy and without blame. God cannot blame you for anything in Christ. The Bible says there, we're blessed, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessing. The word blessed there is to praise. It's fair speech, bounty, to say great things about. God can only say great things about you in Christ. God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And He cannot blame you for anything. He sees Christ as righteousness. Folks, that's something to be happy about. And it don't. Do you know something? Oh, the old devil is called the accuser. In fact, look over in Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, notice verse 10. He said there, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. One of his characteristics is he's accuser of the brethren. Now I want to tell you something. The Ephesians chapter 2 talks about in verse there, he said in verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It's an evil spirit. It's an evil spirit that's in people. Now, it's not the spirit that is the devil. He can only be at one place at one time. But it's like they're on the same page. It's like they're in the same mind frame as Satan was. What is one of his characteristics? He accuses the brethren. Do you know there are people today that are just, they look at people that are saved. They look at people just to find fault with them and to accuse them before everybody. That's that spirit that was in Satan. That's what he does. And there are people today, they're out there and they're just looking to find fault with Brother Steve, Brother Jerry, so they can nitpick them and accuse them of something. That's that spirit of Satan that's working in the children of disobedience. Folks, I want to tell you, but God cannot find anything to blame them about. Why? They're in Christ. That's wonderful to me. Boy, I'm telling you it is. Now, I can condemn myself, but God don't condemn me. I can bring myself and say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, you know, Paul said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith is taking God at His Word. And a lot of times I don't take God at His Word sometimes, and I sin. Then I think, ooh, that's bad. God, I'm condemning myself. The Lord does not find fault with me. He can only say good things about me. The Lord cannot condemn me. Why? If He condemns me, He's condemning Christ. He's condemning His own Son. I stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm in Christ today. And I'm there, and I'm sealed in that body, and I'm one with Him. And someday, I'm going to be just like Him. Someday, I'm looking for that hope. You know, Titus said, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. There's two things in that verse. There's the appearing of Christ, and then there's that blessed hope. And I find out that that hope has to do with glory. Yeah, look back in Colossians there, in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, notice what he says there. I told you, Colossians 2 is 1. He said in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now notice what it says. It's the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope in the Bible is expectation. Hope in the Bible is that earnest expectation of this thing that's a-coming. The glorious appearing and our blessed hope. The hope of glory. Look in, notice Galatians chapter 5. This has to do with being in Christ. In Galatians chapter 5. Notice what he says, and then we'll try to tie it together. Galatians chapter 5, notice what he said in verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. You say, well, I am righteous. You are in Christ. But there is a part of you that's not righteous and never will be righteous. What? Your flesh. You can't get clean up the flesh. You can't do nothing with your flesh. You know what God tells you to do with it? He says, reckon it to be dead. Just look at it like an old corpse is around you. Can't get rid of him. And you reckon him to be dead. You see yourself in Christ. I want to ask you something. When Adam and Eve sinned, and then they sewed fig leaves together, and they went out and they hid themselves when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, right? And they hid themselves among the trees. And finally the Lord, they come out. Now they had aprons of fig leaves. Do you think God left them fig leaves on them when He made them coats of skin? Do you know what had to happen? He stripped them old fig leaves off that work trying to religion or whatever to cover up their flesh and put coats of skin on. Them animals had to die. The only thing, atonement comes from death at one moment with God, the sacrifice. Well, you had no sacrifice, so He offered His Son as your sacrifice, your substitute, your religion, your flesh is like the fig leaves, folks. He ain't going to do nothing with that. He's going to destroy it someday. And it's going to dissolve and be gone. But you have a hope of righteousness. One day I have righteousness imputed, put to my account right now. But someday I'm going to be righteous and have it imparted to me and have a righteous body, soul, spirit. I'm going to be like Him. That's the hope of righteousness. Look in verse in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3. And notice what he said in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in what? Glory. Turn to 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Well, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of what? Righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. And that appearing, I don't think it has to do with the coming of the Lord. I think that appearing that He's talking about is the one that's in chapter 1. Look back in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 9. Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the appearing, I think, that Paul's talking about. Well, everybody that's in the body, whether they realize it or not, love that appearing. Why? Because at that appearing to Paul, that's where he got the gospel, which is the gospel of everybody that's in the body. That's the gospel of their salvation. And people that are saved today love the gospel, the fact that Christ died for them. And that's the appearing that he's talking about. And folks, that crown of righteousness is that new body that you're going to get, and you're going to be righteous body, soul, spirit someday. Right now, you're not. Now, I'm telling you, you're not. I had a man tell me one time he lived 50 years with his wife and they never had an argument. Well, I knowed right then that man lied. But that man said he was righteous and he had been so long since he sinned. All I knew there then is he lied again. Oh, no, folks, you're not righteous. You have, Paul said, when I do good, evil is present with me. He said, you know, he said, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You know, in Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7, and you read that and you find, he don't say sins, it's sin. That's that old man. That's that old nature that you got from Adam. And you still got it. And it flares up every once in a while. And I mean, every once in a while, that old man, he'll resurrect himself. And you have to reckon him to be dead again. Now, folks, I know what I'm talking about. And y'all know I drive. One of the first things I said to Steve when I got out of the car after coming over here, I said, "Thank God I got a whole week and I don't have to drive." The old man comes alive. And you just have to, you know, it's a battle. I mean, isn't it fascinating how that on a Sunday morning, you can do your best sleeping. Seems like the old flesh is more sleepy on a Sunday morning than it is on a Friday morning or Saturday morning. But Sunday morning, some like, boy, I could just lay in the bed. Some people do. Isn't it fascinating how you sit down and you can read and go through the newspaper and you can read this and read it. But sit down and start reading this, the scripture, and all of a sudden it's like you're so sleepy. Isn't it somehow that you get started and you think, well, I'm going to go in there and read, but I'm going to play a game of Candy Crush. And all of a sudden, and 3 hours later, you're still playing Candy Crush. Now who, and you're enjoying it. Who is that? That's that old man. Well, what do? We reckon him to be dead. And we thank God for what we have in Christ. We are complete in Him. We have His righteousness in Him. And God can never blame us for anything in Him. That's our standing. Now your state, you someday you're on fire and someday you're cold. And it changes from day to day, it seems like. I mean, you know, someday, boy, I'm going to do this for the Lord. It never gets done. Then notice something else. We're accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, back in a... Let me go on and finish this. The crown of righteousness. Now, people, I heard a guy, that's not a hat that you're going to have to put on your head when you get there. Notice in Hebrews, let me just do that. Hebrews chapter 2, before we move on. Hebrews chapter 2, notice verse 7. To a reference to Christ, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Look down in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He was crowned with glory and honor. He didn't... Jesus never walked around having two or three crowns on his head. It's a metaphor of what he was. We're going to have, we're waiting to be crowned. Well, what is that? Look in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Your old flesh is not righteous. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body." You thought it was a sweet body, didn't you? It's a vile body. We was talking back there, me and Sherry. You know, we thank God that we have to, we wash it, soap it up, perfume it up, clean it up, and you have to just keep doing it over and over. You know, I hope my new body, I don't have to worry about taking a shower every day. I mean, you know, me and June talk about that. She said, "I hate taking showers." I said, "I do too. Let's just quit." We can't. It's a vile body. I mean, I'm glad you do, but if you just stopped bathing and people couldn't stand you, why? You're just stinking. I mean, think about it. It's a vile body. Well, it's the best we got, but it's still vile. And it changes shape over time. I mean, I didn't always look like this. There was a time I had brown hair. Mine turned gray and turned loose and everything else. But there was a time it wasn't. But we come into this world and we begin to die. And we age. And we age. And somewhere, if the Lord don't come, this old body's going to die and go back to the dust. Worms. It's a vile body. But notice what he said. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. One other passage about this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look in verse 49. He said in verse 49, he said, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, that's what you got now, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Folks, your old flesh is not going to make it. We're going to be changed and have a body fashioned like His glory. That's the hope of righteousness. Then I'll not only have righteousness imputed to me, but righteousness will be imparted to me. I'll never have to worry about sinning. I'll never have to worry about having an evil thought. I'll never have to worry about whether or not I'm pleasing the Lord or not. I mean, you want to know your relationship in eternity? Look at Christ's relationship to the Father when He was there. He said, the words that I speak is the Father's. He said, I come to do Thy will. Everything that Christ did was to glorify the Father. Folks, I want to tell you something. In eternity, with a righteous body, with a fashion like His glorious body, I mean, His thoughts will be our thoughts. We'll have the mind of Christ. We'll be like Christ. Have a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. And we will be glorified together. And the glory, Paul said, the sufferings of this world not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. And will be to the glory of His grace. And it'll be to His glory of salvation that we didn't deserve and He gave it to us. I'm complete in Him. I don't have to do anything. I'm accepted in Him, in the Beloved, by God. Ephesians 1:7 says, we have forgiveness of sins, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. All my sins are forgiven in Christ. I'm blessed in heavenly places with all spiritual blessings. And not only that, the last day, I'm saved from His wrath. I'm going to read one passage. There's many, but my time's gone. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 9 says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. through Him. Not because of our goodness. Not because of our religion. Not because we do good things. But because of what He did for us. Because we're in Him, God shows us favor. Because we're in Him, God holds us without blame. And because we're in Him, we'll never see the wrath of God. Why? The wrath of God was poured out on Him for you. Everything He suffered for you. His death was for you. It was your death. He died for your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. I appreciate being here. And now, my vacation starts. From whence and the reason I'm here.